Hey everyone, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about sales. And you know, the question that we want to explore today is sales natural or learned?
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
Right. This is a question I get quite often. And this is also one of the things I like the least about all the compliments and nice things people say about me, which is that I think that oftentimes when people hear me, especially on stage, they, I think, falsely get the impression that they would have to be as outgoing and as loud and as colorful as I am to be good in sales, and nothing could be further from the truth. But I just want to talk about this, like, selling. Is it natural? Is it learned? What is it? Can I learn how to be good at sales, or do I have to be born with it? Is it kind of a gift or something like that? And I know that you have a bunch of thoughts on this topic as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think I'll throw it out there and start. And I'm curious what you have to say. Based on my experience of working with founders and even their teams, as well as in my own companies, if somebody, I feel like sales is just like anything else, where if somebody's really focused learning the core principles of it, they can learn it. And I say that because to me, sales is very much just communication. And it's just like anything else. If if you've never been on a date, you go on a date. And you communicate and you figure out what dating's like. It's just like sales. If you've never sold anything before, you just go do it. And then you learn what it's like. And then eventually, you know, especially with things that are business oriented like sales, unlike relationships, I know there's courses and learnings you can have on dating and stuff, I'm sure. I've heard about some of those. I've been literally married since I was in my early 20s and dating since I was 15, the same person. But anyways, to me, like, yeah, you can learn it. You don't have to be born with it. I don't think there is a natural salesperson sort of persona that somebody has to be in order to be in sales or do sales.
I couldn't agree more with you. So I do believe that selling can be learned. I also do believe that there are certain talents or certain personality traits that some people have that will make it easier for them. Right, to sell or to be good at it. So I do think that there's a little bit of both, like nature and nurture in it. But I do think even if you are the most, you know, anti-social, even if you're somebody that's very, very, you know, introverted and does not like to interact with people and has difficulty communicating effectively with others, especially in person, even if you have real challenges with that, I think that you can learn all the basics to communicate well, and I think that you can learn to be really effective in selling. Now, if you compete with somebody directly who has a lot of natural talents and gifts, that loves people, that somebody is very charismatic, somebody that is very caring, that connects easily with people, that people are drawn to, and that person learns the basics as well, that person works as hard as you are, yeah, it's going to be difficult to perform better. But you don't have to perform better than the best salesperson on this planet. That should not be the benchmark. You just need to be performing well for your purposes, whatever it is that you're trying to sell. And you just need to be getting better at it. And especially if you're a founder, even with an engineering background, learning the basics of effective communication and learning how to sell will help you in so many ways, not just about closing customers, but attracting talent, attracting investment, getting your story out there. Just, it's going to benefit you in all walks of life, because really, anytime you communicate, you're selling in one way or another. So I want to talk about some of the, so I think we both agree sales is not totally natural. I think I added to it that I do believe there's certain personalities that might thrive. But I want to highlight one thing, you know, because I think usually when people think about the ideal, you know, the ideal kind of personality composition for somebody that's good at sales, we always think about like loud people, people that like to talk, people that like to be social, people that like tension, people that are very competitive, that kind of a very loud character. If you're the opposite of that, I think that being very loud has some benefits, or being very communicative has some benefits, but it really has also a ton of risks in terms of selling. These people, they need to learn to listen. They need to learn how to shut up. They need to learn how to use that intensity of their personality at the right moment, but how to not overwhelm people. So they also have challenges. And if you're a quieter person, maybe you have to learn how to be a little louder, maybe a little bit more social, but you have a lot of benefits. You might be just an amazing listener. You might be more thoughtful. You might be more caring. When you say things, they might carry more weight because people know that you're not just talking all day long, making tons of promises. So there's real benefits and strengths to being that type of personality that I think most people don't think of themselves, that they have certain strengths. If they wanted to learn, they see all these things just as weaknesses. And I think that that's absolutely wrong. And yeah, sales can be learned. Now let's talk about this a little bit. I'm curious, because you're always learning, right? And you are not a salesperson, but I can speak from experience. You get sales. You get it. You're a good salesperson. If you need to, you can be a very good salesperson. You might never think of yourself that way, but you get it. And you're also the type of person, just in general, from my observation, that would never say to himself, I'm not the type of person that can do X, Y, and Z. That's a limiting belief that you would never adopt. So you're like, well, sales, sure, it's simple. You're like, I can learn the basics. I can do this. It's not a problem. Anybody can. Has there ever been a moment where you, like, or a period where you learned a ton about sales, that kind of changed your mind about it? Were there any kind of sprints or moments of learning about sales, or did it just always happen? Just marketing and sales has always been a blur, and you've always been learning, and you don't even know how you picked up all that know-how. How has your experience been with, like, learning some of the ABCs of sales? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for the compliment. Yeah, I wouldn't want to say I'm not good at things, because it's not good in itself. I probably learned more about sales when I had to raise money for the first time, and I failed at Crazy Egg. And that was because we just failed at it. There's a whole bunch of reasons. Some of them were just our business and the market timing. Others were our own pitch and all that. And now I've learned that I could have pitched that business a much different way and actually raised money at that time, no problem. So I think for me, I actually learned it first by having to sell investors, or fail at selling investors on the opportunity to invest in my company. The reason I say that is, that company was specifically, all sales were happening online, and we didn't have to talk to people to sell, because we're talking about more like inside sales and talking to people in order to sell. Because I think the online sales stuff is much more copy, marketing, product, and other things versus when you're actually having to pick up the phone and get, like, you know, ideally five figure or greater a year deals and things like that, maybe four figure depending on your economics. So to me, I learned it then. And the reason is, I really didn't understand sales in the same way, because we used to have a consulting business from 2003 onwards. I was actually not doing most of the sales. I would get involved in helping out and thinking through it, but that was more selling services, which to me is a lot different than selling software in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it's similar. And I never thought of us having to do sales. One of the reasons is my co-founder, Neil, would just do the sales. He, I think you would put on the spectrum of more natural, maybe like you, if you want to look at it like that, than myself as a natural in sales, like I was born selling kind of thing. I think both of you were much more born selling than I was. So that was probably my first shot when I realized I failed at it. And I realized that it's just communication and it's story and it's, compelling someone to really believe in you. And then after that, at Kissmetrics, for the longest time, we actually didn't hire a salesperson. Then eventually we did. And I learned more about sales at that point. And it just brought me back to, you know, we had to raise money for that business too, and we were successful. So I think I got good at that sales process. If you want to call, you know, taking or getting money from investors a sales process, you can. I don't really look at it like that, but that is where I think a lot of sales principles do apply.
I do think so, yeah.
And then when having to hire a salesperson, a sales leader in the company, in a lot of ways, we screwed it up. Not because of the person. The first salesperson at Kissmetrics, is this gentleman named Ben Sardella, and I think the world of him in so many ways, and I think the feeling's mutual. I just bumped into one of his team members at a coffee shop today, ironically, and he's like, hey, are you Heaton? I'm like, yeah, I'm Heaton. And he's like, do you know Ben? I'm like, yeah, of course I know Ben. He's like, oh yeah, I work at Data Dice. I was like, oh, cool. All right. So apparently Ben's saying something about me somewhere because I didn't know this person.
I can tell you from firsthand experience, Ben loves you. Like anytime I've talked to Ben in person and I've met him multiple times at different events, he always talks incredibly highly of you. And how could he not? But yeah, the feeling is definitely mutual. Yeah. It's definitely mutual.
Yeah, I mean, I learned a ton about sales from him and a lady named Jody Maxson that actually introduced me to him. And then we hired him. He was the first VP of sales at Kissmetrics. I think he was the best. We were just really young, and there was all kinds of things just going on in the business, and he stuck through all of it. So to me, like, I learned it then, but honestly, like, as I think about what I learned from Ben and executing sales and understanding all the things, I just realized that, like, we're selling all the time. And especially if you're a founder, even if you're inside of a company as an engineer, you're selling something. You're selling your skills. You're selling your code. And once I really unlocked that, like, sales is not a bad thing. Sales is really just something we're doing all the time. Every time we communicate, there is a process going on, an exchange. I almost think sales is has this, like, thing where it's called sales and you're selling people on stuff and all this stuff. And even sales implies discounts, you know, just because when things are on sale, right? So this word is weird in my mind. And at the end of the day, we're communicating and try to provide value to each other. And that's what we're doing in pretty much every interaction we have. Or we're trying to, you know, in some cases, we're just trying to extract value and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, the best sales is when you've built a relationship with the person on the other end, right? So, and we're doing that constantly with everybody we talk to. I think that was a really big deal for me. Because that's why right now I can't tell you that raising money is a sales process. I can't even tell you that selling software should be considered a sales process the way that we've been taught. Because, and I'll punchline this so that you can sort of give your perspective, because I'm sure you've got a lot to say about this, obviously. But the punchline for me is this. In the early days of sales, people just weren't inundated with salespeople calling them or emailing them or whatever. So it was just easy to use these very basic, simplistic, psychological, relationship building oriented tactics and get away with doing sales. I mean, like back in the day, like when sales was first invented, I don't even know the history. Maybe you do, but this is just what I remember. And now it's like everybody's selling. You're selling all the time. Founders have to sell. Like, you know, and one of my biggest lessons was like every time I was talking to a customer or a prospective customer or an investor or anybody, I'm literally doing what most people would call sales. I'm communicating. I'm sharing. And I think that the tactics and the tricks, they don't work. And that's why I actually love your perspective on it, Steli. Because when I hear a tactic or trick from you, it isn't a trick or a tactic. Like, it isn't something I feel like is scamming the other person. It is more so language and words. I mean, the thing I was super impressed by is what we talked about in a previous episode recently when you were talking about how you literally were essentially running a sales process on a vendor that screwed up. While in the conversation, you set him up and then you got him to admit something. And then essentially he played himself, as DJ Khalid would say, because in that, and that was sales to me. That was you convincing him of something, getting information from him. And then basically in a very respectful way, I think you did it greatly based on how you described it, you threw it back at him. And to me, that was a sales process. You had a goal in mind. I'm going to figure out whether this guy's being genuine and honest with me. And then you went for it. And so to me, that's communication. You communicated really effectively, and all sales is communication. So I'm gonna stop with that.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And I thank you. And my definition is really very close to yours. It's funny. To me, sales is result-driven communication, right? It's whenever I communicate and I have an end goal in mind, and this doesn't have to be give me your money. It could be just agree with my idea or be honest with your feedback around what I'm doing. Whenever I'm trying to convince another human being to move forward in some kind of a way, whatever that is, whatever the conversion is, I'm selling. So sales to me, you know, I think it's a cliche, but really a significant amount of things that are happening in life are sales. If you have children, they're constantly selling you on things, and you as a parent are constantly selling them, and you do it with tonality, and you do it with, you know, your body language. You know, I always love how grandmothers are pitching certain types of foods to little children, right? And they get all sweet in their voice and all overly salesy because they want the little children to like the broccoli or whatever it is. And there's a constant exchange of communication because, you know, the little kids, they want the parents to do things for them and, or they want to get certain things and vice versa. So it doesn't matter if you communicate with the opposite or the same sex, if you communicate with another person because you're attracted to them, if you communicate with your children, in the family, in business, whenever you communicate and there's a purpose, there's a result you're trying to generate or you're trying to move towards to with the other human or humans, you're selling. And, you know, because we do so much of it, we might as well get good at it, right? Because you're doing it either way. You might think you're not selling, but you are selling. You might just be really bad at it. And I think if a major part of what you do in life is selling, communicating, and trying to convince people of your ideas, of the things you want the world to move towards, then getting better at it is a good thing for the world, and it's a good thing for you. And I'll give you, to touch on something else you said before, a big part of the advice I give around sales and around business as well, and we have discovered this multiple times in the last on this very podcast about this, is that a lot of our advice is very fundamental, right? It's stuff that's been true for a really long time and will still be true many, many years from now. We're not really the hackety-hackety type of people that are like, here's a new little trick that works now but will stop working in 2 days, but you need to take advantage of it until everybody else is. That shit is just like that hunt for shortcuts in life and for what's fashionable and for what everybody else is doing. That is one of the biggest wastes of human potential, time, and energy, right? So most of our advice is very fundamental, and that's the same thing for my sales advice. My sales advice is always very basic shit that will always work, but it's not difficult to do. It might be emotionally challenging, but it's not very difficult to do, but I don't have really easy answers for people. One of my favorite examples, I use a common friend of ours, Patrick McKenzie, Petty 11, for those of you out there that are Hacker News folks. I use him often in my presentations. I actually have like just a massive picture of him, the most unflattering picture I could find. I'm sorry, Patrick. But my whole point is like I bring up this example oftentimes because when I'm on stage and I'm screaming at people and I'm high energy and people are loving it and they're inspired maybe in the moment, that's great. That feels great to me. That feels great to some people in the audience. It's awesome. But I'm really aware and worried about the distance I have from the audience because of my personality and the potential for people to misinterpret me as like, that's the only way to be successful in trying to sell. And if I don't put on a leather jacket and scream at people, I will never succeed. Or I can never do this like Stelly. I'm not that type of person. So sales is not for me. And I think that would be, if that's even just one person gets that impression when I speak about sales, then I make the world a worse place, not a better place, right? So I really, this is something that really worries me. And I'm really aware that I can come across that way. So I always bring up or often bring up Petty 11 as a counterexample to myself. And I go, all right, I know that some people here, they look at me and they go, I need to buy a leather jacket or I need to be more Greek or this isn't for me. I'm not that type of person. Sales is not like I have a certain type of personality, but you can be dangerous in selling and you can be completely a completely different person than I am. And then I bring up Petty 11 because he is in person very different from me, right? The way he dresses, the way he communicates, he's much more of an engineer, much more of a geek, much more introverted, although he's an amazing storyteller and he's learned to be a great communicator. But if we stood next to each other, you would not think, oh, these people are exactly the same. You would think these people seem very opposite of each other. And I always bring the example how Petty 11 has learned the basics, the ABCs of sales. He understands that if he wants to communicate his ideas, if he wants to grow his businesses, if he wants to succeed in certain areas, he needs to just understand selling, and selling is important to get money, and money is important for business. So, you know, and he has a very engineering way of thinking about it. And I always bring up this one example that I want to share towards the end of this episode, where he had a meeting, I don't know if I can just say which company, but a multi-billion-dollar, really great, kind of not recent, five-year-old startup that is now a very big business. And is one of the newer companies that I really admire, and I think that's going to be the next kind of Google or Amazon or whatever. So this is a very popular service, and he was visiting the founder of that company. And back in that day, he was still working on a startup himself, and he wanted to convince that founder to become an early customer. And so they were chatting. They knew each other. They've known each other for a long time. And eventually, at the end of the conversation, after Patrick had told this CEO about his new idea and what he's trying to do and all that, he looked at him and he went, do you know Steli Efti? And the founder said, yeah, I know Steli. And then Patrick said, well, if Steli Efti was here, he would not allow me to end this conversation without asking you if you're going to become a customer. And then the founder CEO started laughing and going, wow, this is so weird of you to say. This is nothing like you. To which Patrick said, yes, that's why I said, if Steli Efti was here, he would not allow me to leave this meeting without asking you. right? It's just like in the most stoic way, in the most like Patrick Pettio 11 way possible in terms of his delivery, so dry. And then the founder CEO of the billion-dollar company looked at him, laughed again, and said, yeah, sure, all right, yeah, we're going to be a customer. I'm happy to be an early customer of yours. And to me, this is, I mean, obviously I'm honored, you know, that he used me in that meeting that I was able to help. But I love that story because it's somebody being incredibly effective in sales and asking for the close at the end of the meeting, although it's not in his typical personality. And he even went one step ahead and just, you know, pretended I'm in the room and said, Steli would say this to you, right? But this is to me just one of those examples that I like to share with people and say, you don't need to be flashy, loud, or anything else. If you just learn the basics of selling, you apply them, it's going to benefit your business. And anybody can learn to become better at sales. It's not a gift. You might not become the best salesperson in the world, but you can be a really, really you can be dangerous in selling. You can be effective at it, no matter how introverted or whatever you think is kind of anti-sales you are. And as we discovered earlier, and as we both said, you know, since a lot of things are really like result-driven communication and selling is really nothing else, might as well get better at it. Communication is really, really important if you want to move the world forward.
There's only one thing I disagree on, and I think we're going to end it on this. The thing I disagree on, Steli, is that I don't believe that everyone cannot be the best salesperson in the world.
That's an interesting one.
And the reason I say that is sales is, like you said, results-driven communication. If sales is results-driven communication, as long as I am getting results, I am the best. I think it's that simple. So I wouldn't want people on this, especially on this podcast, to think that they can't be the best salesperson in the world. Because the best salesperson in the world sells effectively based on results and getting results. We can all get results if we're doing sales, regardless of where we come from or what we consider ourselves to be. Look at Patrick. He does it his way. He uses you in the conversation, and he gets the job done. Is he the best salesperson in the world? I would say yes. For him, if he's effective at his strategy, he is the best salesperson in the world for what he is doing.
And that is the final word of this episode. Let's just wrap it up on this. I have nothing to add to this.
See you next time.
That's it from us. See you next time, guys.